Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Caught wind of it Friday, and then it was made official Saturday, but Ricky Henderson passing away at the age of 65, and I don't think there's any doubt, no question whatsoever, that he is the greatest leadoff hitter of all time. Power, speed, the character himself. We don't see many characters like that. You know, he talked in third person. Ricky Henderson has just the stories go on, and they're all great stories that make you smile. So, you know, what Ricky Henderson meant to the city of Oakland, he was Oakland through and through, Oakland born, representing the town. Man, we lost a great one. We keep losing great ones this year. In 2024, man, we just lost some absolute juggernauts, man. Willie Mays, Jerry West. Oh, we're losing Ricky Henderson. Ah.
When I was a kid, you used to hear this phrase like, oh, man, they died too soon or too young or whatever. And, like, there's never a good time to pass away. But you brought up, like, Willie Mays. Like, Willie Mays did live to be 90 mm-hmm. years old. And he lived a really good life. And I think most people that I'm talking to in the airwaves right now, I say, man, if I could get to 90, you'd sign me up, you know?
Yep.
And look, I you probably roll your eyes because I say it all the time, but like, my dad was 1 year older than Ricky. And so to see Ricky pass away, it's like that one hit me like a sack of potatoes. I'm not an A's fan, never pretended to be one. Ricky Henderson is one of my favorite players of all time, and you're going to hear that from a lot of people. It's a style of play. Not a practice goes by when I'm coaching kids and we do base running in every practice. Do I not reference something from Ricky Henderson? I've watched all these MLB breakdowns with him and Harold Reynolds and Barry Larkin. I've seen individual ones with him and Tony La Russa that are on the internet. I've watched all of these different breakdowns on who Ricky Henderson was as a player and what he did as a base stealer and how he would do it. And it's like, this is something I think about all the time. The guy stole 130 bases in a season, got thrown out 60 times, okay? What would he have done if you could only throw over two times? What would he have done? What would he have done with slightly larger bases where every single pitcher in baseball doesn't know how to do a slide step? What would he have done when you could see the poor mechanics of the one knee down with all of these catchers who can't throw to second base nowadays? This guy would have broke more records. He broke the stolen base record, similar to Jerry Rice, at 31 years old. Not in his 40s. He broke a record smack dab in the middle of his career in his prime and crushed it and did it stealing third base, which is harder to steal than going from first to second in terms of the throw from the catcher. Like, this guy is such an all-time player. I think he's on most people's top 10. No matter like however you look, he's on most people's top 10.
Doubt.
How he wasn't unanimous is absurd. Then you talk about the style of play. Think about the era he came up in the 80s, you know, early 80s. It was a very like old school era. If you pimped a home run, if you flashed and you flared,
right,
guys were coming at you. He was so good, no one had a problem with it.
Nah, nobody.
And the pop the collar,
well, think
the
about
way
E40,
he pimped the
well,
homers.
Think,
I mean,
well, think about E40. He started popping his collar. Why? He started popping his collar. Why? Ricky Henderson. The way he pimped his home runs. The way he stole second. He got walked. He basically, as Bully said Saturday, he had a triple.
Oh,
you
know what I'm saying? Think about what the pressure he would put. Because like I think about nowadays, you know, coming set and then throwing over. Think of the dance that he had. He was in dude's domes, and now you can only throw over two times.
Yeah.
The guy would have 200 stolen bases in a year, for crying out loud.
I want to play this Harold Reynolds story on Ricky Henderson.
Please.
This is Harold Reynolds. This is a funny story.
It came down the last day of the year, and Willie Wilson and I were tied with 59. And we're playing in the same time zone at this time because I'm in Texas playing against the Rangers, and Willie's at home in Kansas City. And I steal a base, like, early in the game. And the ticker tape, no, it wasn't ticker tape, but anyway, I find out Willie goes 0 for 5. He does not steal the bag. I ended up being the stolen base champ. So Ricky probably had, I think, 30 stolen bases that year by May, and he got injured. And he's on his way to another 100 stolen base year. And he used to get on base at second. I would hold him on like a pitcher, like a first baseman. And he'd turn around and go, "Ricky getting ready to go now. Ricky getting ready to run. What are you going to do, Reynolds? Ricky getting ready to run." And I'd be like holding him on the pitcher. "He's running. He's running." And he'd just take off, do his thing. So I get home. I win the stolen base title. I have 60. Phone rings. "Hello?" No caller ID in those days. So, "Hello, Henderson here." I said, "Hey, what up, Rick?" I'm thinking Ricky's calling me, congratulate me. This is unbelievable. "What's going on, Rick? How you doing?" I'm like, "What you got? 60 stolen bases? You ought to be ashamed. Ricky, a 60 at the All-Star break." Click. Hung up the phone. I just hear a on the other end. That was it. So in my office at MLB Network, he signed a poster for me years later, and it says, "You know, stolen base champ, Ricky Henderson."
And you hear stories about that all the time. John Ullerus' story. He's like,
all time.
"I have a teammate at first base who used to wear a helmet. Man." And then John Ullerus goes, "Yeah, that was me." "Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, Ricky got to go." And Ricky goes, "It's still second base, man." He was an iconic kid. They don't make him. He's one of one.
No question.
He's truly one of one.
Well, and the thing that, like, we haven't even talked about it. In left field, we used to do this. My dad would, "Dad, hit me fly balls. Dad, hit me fly balls." We all wanted to catch it and snap it and flip the glove the way that Ricky did it.
Yep.
Ricky would catch, snap off the hip, flip it up. Like, he turned it into a whole thing. Bond started basically recreating what Ricky Henderson started. Everybody wanted to be like him. He was, and here's the crazy thing. I'm convinced this is how sick my head is. I'm convinced had he chose football, he would have been like an Emmitt Smith level football player.
Well,
and I know that's, I'm not trying to disrespect Emmitt Smith.
No.
I am being dead serious. Whatever that man chose to do, I think he would have been one of the greats.
Well, he was a great football player in high school at Oakland Tech. And if I'm not mistaken, USC wanted him.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
His mom made
USC,
made him go play baseball.
The USC Trojans in the 70s that had already had O.J. Simpson and many other great running backs back in those days, he was going to go to USC and be a running back. Tailback you at the time. He would have been playing ahead of Marcus Allen. That would have been crazy. But he was made for baseball. We needed a character like that in baseball. He's an icon and probably left this world way too early, man.
That was the thing that I kept coming back. Like, it hit me really hard, and I was just like, dude, A, way too young, and then B, pneumonia. Like, and I know Debo got pneumonia earlier this year. Pneumonia is so scary. Like, it really is. And I don't know how he got it, and I don't know what ended up happening. But seeing him, because, like, to me, he is the face of vibrance and strength, and I thought he'd live forever.
Yeah.
Like, I really did. I thought that Ricky would live forever. And, I mean, we just saw him at the Coliseum, like, when they had the final games, and he just looked so dapper and so clean, and he always had the big, strong forearms and the chiseled chin, and everything about him was so pristine, and the way he wore his jersey, it was like perfection. And that's why, to me, he's very much like Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
The longevity, the obsession with the game. This is a man playing in his 40s for some random independent league and probably still dominating. Like, he never, quote-unquote, retired from baseball.
Yeah, no.
You know, he never retired. Loved the game so much. Played for a million teams. You know, I know you guys did on the post-game show. You were asking, and I know Bill Russell is one of the all-time greats. And I don't want to sound like I'm diminishing him. There have been some unbelievable players coming out of the East Bay in particular. But for me, and I would love to hear from East Bay residents, Ricky Henderson is the greatest Oakland athlete of all time because he played for the freaking A's and was twice and was just absolutely dominant. He's a top 10 player in a sport of all time. And your point about he's the ultimate leadoff here, on my starting nine in the history of the game, absolutely he's batting leadoff and he's in there.
Stolen base king, Ricky Henderson, may you rest in peace. All right, let's get to Samita and Los Gatos, whose shoulder face at the Doobie Awards. Great to meet her in her A's jersey as well. Hey, if I'm not mistaken, was that a Ricky Henderson jersey?
It absolutely was.
Wow, Samita, wow. How ironic will we meet you? You got your A's jersey, and it's a Ricky Henderson one, and he leaves the world a few hours later. But it was great to meet you, Samita. Great to meet you.
It was really great to meet both of you, and it was a really wonderful event. I really, really enjoyed myself. I stayed around much longer than I intended to because it was a good time.
Well, thank you for taking the time to come out. It really means a lot. Thank you.
No, I really appreciate what you guys do. And so I thought the event was really well planned, and it was just a lot of fun. So it was a really nice vibe in there. So it was really, really memorable and a good way to end the year, I think. Just wanted to mention, you know, how much Ricky Henderson did for the game of baseball. I think the kind of personality that he had and the way he played the game, honestly, I think baseball is missing that.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's missing that flair, the eccentricities. You know, everybody's too worried about, you know, their bag and how it's going to play on social media. And nobody wants to kind of go out on a limb anymore. But, you know, he was just unabashedly himself. So there's I think a 30 for 30 on Ricky Henderson. There's a podcast, which is really great, and talks about when he went and played in the minors for a while after he retired, just because he wanted to play baseball. This is how much this man loved the game. And I think we lose sight of that sometimes in the modern sports world, you know.
Totally.
Niners, just real quick, they need to rebuild, guys. I don't know why we're talking about this piece and that piece. They need to strip it down to the studs and start over. And that means you got to look at every single player on the team and see whether or not they're going to fit the vision for what you want to do and where you want to go, and just start over. Because saying, oh, this guy got us to the Super Bowl, or this team did this on, you know, couple of years ago, I don't think that's going to work. I think you got to go all the way down to the studs and start all the way over.
Wow.
Damn.
Wow. Wow.